I'd encourage you to open your Bibles to the book of Titus, chapter 1. Titus, chapter 1 will be the first passage we're going to look at in our study this morning. So good to see everyone. This morning, though, I want to talk about the work of elders. In Titus, chapter 1 and verse 5, Titus, chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul says, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you." And we read here that Paul commanded Titus to appoint elders in every city. I believe there's two reasons that Paul would have done this. First is this was Paul's practice. If you go back to Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, you read there that when Paul and Barnabas were on their first missionary journey, they went through revisiting the churches they established, and they appointed elders in every church. That was his practice. And so Titus, I want you to do the same. But here in our text in Titus 1 verse 5, we see the reason why. He needs to set in order the things that are lacking. A church that does not have qualified men serving as elders is lacking. It doesn't say that it's unscriptural. It doesn't say that it cannot do the work God gave the church to do and it cannot please God, but it's lacking something. And so those churches, they needed elders. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians regarding their attitude toward their elders. He writes and says, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." The elders were to be recognized. That is, they were to be respected. They were to be appreciated. They were to be honored and esteemed very highly. Why? Because they're outstanding men? No. Because they are figureheads in the church? No. Because of the work that they do. That's why. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and at verse 3, when he talked about the qualifications for elders, he says, "This is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop," and bishop is one of six words that's used by the New Testament to talk about the work of an elder, the office of an elder. So here we're talking about elders. Notice, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. Serving as an elder is not an honorary position. It is a work. That's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the work of elders. We studied the church and wrapped up that study of the church a few weeks ago, but there were some things that I wanted to explore a little bit further, and talking with the elders about this, we decided to handle these in sermons and so we can move on with our class and look in another direction with our class. We talked about teachers a few weeks ago in the church. I want to talk about elders. And it seems like most often when we talk about elders, what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about the qualifications of elders. And when we talk about qualifications of elders, what's the one we want to look at? We want to look at the number of children, right? And sometimes as we explore those important topics, we leave some other things unstudied. We don't look into them as much as we should. So with our time this morning, I want us to look at the work that God has given elders to do. It is a work. They're to be honored for their work's sake. Well, what work should they be doing? Now, obviously, this sermon is going to have immediate application to five members here. But the sermon is being preached for the benefit of all of us, because we must have a scriptural understanding and a scriptural expectation of what our elders are to accomplish here. And if we can have a scriptural expectation of their work, then we will appreciate them. We will give them the respect and the honor that the Scriptures call for. So this sermon is for all of us. What is the work that God has given elders to do? I want us to start by looking at Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. In this passage, in this chapter in Acts, Paul has called for the elders of the church in Ephesus to come to him at Miletus, and he gives them what he believes to be his farewell address, saying he's not going to see them any longer. And so he's talking to elders about things that elders need to know about. And in this particular verse, chapter 20 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul sets forth three of the 4 points that we're going to have in our study this morning. The first thing that he tells these elders to do is to take heed to themselves. Elders, then, are to examine themselves. King James Version also says, take heed. New American Standard Version says, be on guard. English Standard Version says, pay careful attention. Translated from a Greek word that means to turn the mind unto. So here's what elders need to do as they are doing their work from time to time. They need to turn their mind to themselves. They need to focus the attention upon themselves, and they need to examine themselves. And this is not unheard of. The scriptures also call upon preachers to examine themselves. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul writes and says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, writing here to Timothy, to a preacher. And so preachers need to, from time to time, turn that microscope on themselves and examine themselves. But when you think about it, it's not just something that's given to preachers and given to elders. It's something that we're all supposed to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, Paul tells the church there at large, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. So elders need to do what all of us need to do from time to time. Examine themselves. Look at themselves. You see, if elders are not good men, they're not going to be good elders. If elders are not walking in the way of God, they're not going to be able to lead God's people in that way. And so, first and foremost, elders need to be looking at themselves. Being honest in evaluating themselves on a regular basis. What is their relationship with God? Sometimes elders, and this can happen to preachers too, can get so busy doing their work for the Lord that they lose connection with the Lord and allow their spiritual life to go on cruise control while they focus on the work that they have to do in the church. That can't happen. So the elder needs to make sure that he's in fellowship with God, that he has a strong relationship with God. Elders need to know what their faults are, what their weaknesses are. And more than that, need to be taking steps to shore up those weaknesses, don't they? If we know what our weakness is, that's good, but let's do something about it. Elders need to be examining themselves. Elders need to be examining their attitude. Their attitude toward their work as elders. You think deacons sometimes get burned out? I'm sure they do. I'm sure there are times in the lives of men who are serving as deacons that they reach a point where they're kind of tired of serving, get a little burned out. You think preachers get burned out every once in a while? Only every Monday morning. No, it can happen. And it can happen to elders too. What's your attitude towards your work? What's your attitude towards the brethren? What's your attitude towards God's word and God's expectations of you? Elders need to be examining themselves on a regular basis and making sure that they are right and that they are capable of doing the work that God has given them to do. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we turn to this passage numerous times to talk about the Lord's Supper and look at the instructions given for partaking of the supper. And we know that the Corinthians were making a mockery of the Lord's Supper. And Paul is having to write this letter to them to correct them in this manner. And notice verse 31. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31, Paul says, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. He's writing and telling them, if you would look honestly at what you're doing to the Lord's Supper, you'd take care of that matter yourself, and I wouldn't have to. I wouldn't have to write this letter, and I wouldn't have to come to you and take care of this matter. But you know that principle applies to all of us in all areas of our lives. If we would be our own best critics, There would be no reason for anyone else to be critical of us. And that's true for elders. If elders would examine themselves and be their own best critics, there would be no one else to have a reason to be critical of them. So the first work that elders have to do is to look at themselves and examine themselves. But going back to Acts 20 and verse 28, we see that elders are to shepherd the church. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. The King James Version says to feed the church. The English Standard Version says to care for the church. This is translated from a Greek word that means to do the work of a shepherd, to tend a flock, to keep sheep, or to feed. What's the best model to follow in learning how to do the work of an elder? Where could you go to? What's the best example, the best illustration, the best model to go to learn to do the work of an elder? It is a shepherd. Elders are not administrators. Elders are not executives who are sitting in a boardroom behind the desk. Elders are shepherds who are out in the midst of God's people, tending them, taking care of them, and leading them. One specific responsibility that would fall under this realm of shepherding the church is to feed the flock. A shepherd is going to guide his flock to green pastures and cool water, Psalm 23 tells us. Elders are going to do the same thing for the church spiritually. Elders are going to provide spiritual nourishment for God's people. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And when you think about feeding the flock and providing that spiritual nourishment of God's word to the flock, you may be thinking, well, that's the preacher's job, isn't it? Isn't that the preacher's job to get up and to preach the word? Isn't it the preacher's job to teach the Bible class? Well, perhaps a preacher does that here at Knollwood, but whose responsibility is it to make sure that it's done? It's the elder's responsibility to make sure that the spiritual food is being given to the sheep. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." That word pastor is another one of the words the New Testament uses to refer to elders. And pastors do just that. They pastor, they shepherd, they feed the flock. Notice what these individuals are given for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Elders then have a responsibility to provide opportunities for the teaching of God's word and to call upon the members to receive it and to apply it to their lives. Elders have that responsibility to provide for Bible classes, for sermons, for gospel meetings, vacation Bible school, lectureships, private studies that they conduct on their own that the rest of us may know nothing about, supplying needed material for edification and for evangelism. We know one of the qualifications of an elder is that he must be apt to teach or able to teach. 1 Timothy 3 verse 2 says, which requires them first to be good students of the Scriptures. But elders need to be able to feed the flock, to see to it that the Word of God is being fed to the church, and to call upon the church to receive that feeding, to receive that instruction. Another responsibility that shepherds have is to protect the flock. Shepherds must protect the flock from threats and dangers. Elders have the responsibility of protecting the local church from spiritual threats and spiritual dangers. Going back to our text, we're looking at in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, we've read several times, the elders are told, therefore, take heed to yourselves. They need to give that careful examining eye to themselves, but not just to themselves. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. After examining themselves, they then need to turn and look and examine the flock. He's told them, he says, for I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch. Be on the watch, be on the alert, look out for dangers. And that's one thing that elders need to do. They need to look out for the dangers. They need to know what's happening in the world. They need to know what's happening in the religious world. They need to know what's happening in the brotherhood. This idea of approaching the autonomy of the local church, and God has made every local church autonomous, the idea of approaching the autonomy of the church with an isolationist attitude is wrong. Because we are not isolated. We are not insulated from everyone else. False ideas that originate in other places can make their way through our doors. And the elders know this. And so they need to keep watch. They need to know what false doctrines are being taught. They need to know what new errors are being circulated so that the congregation can be warned. To be forewarned is to be forearmed, isn't it? The elders need to watch. And when that threat is apparent, and when that threat is there, the elders need to take care of the matter. Remember what David told Saul when Saul laughed at his small stature in going up against Goliath? Remember what David said? I've tended my father's sheep, and I've killed a lion, and I've killed a bear. Why? Because those animals came and threatened the sheep. And as a shepherd, he took care of and eliminated that threat. And elders need to do that. They need to know the word to be able to correct false doctrine. Going back to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1 verses 9 through 11. Titus chapter 1 verses 9 through 11. An elder must be holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped. There are people who are going to come into the church and they're going to trouble the church, and those mouths need to be stopped. And the elders have the responsibility of stopping those mouths by preaching the truth, by countering false doctrine with the truth and exposing error and teaching the truth. And oftentimes being ahead of that, so the truth is taught beforehand, so the congregation is not ripe for the picking in their ignorance for false teachers to come along and drag people away. These dangers can come from outside the church, but these dangers can also arise from within the church. And Paul says in Acts chapter 20, these dangers can even come from the eldership itself. So part of the work that elders have is to protect us spiritually, to be on the watch and to protect us. Another responsibility that shepherds have is to keep the sheep from straying. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. I want us to see this verse, Hebrews chapter 13, and we're going to look at verse 17. A shepherd, of course, is accountable for his sheep. A shepherd is accountable for the sheep that are placed in his care. Elders are accountable for God's sheep. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Elders have to give an account for our souls. Give an account to who? To us? No. Give an account to who? Peter calls them in 1 Peter chapter 5, the chief shepherd. We read before services began about the good shepherd. Elders are going to be held accountable by Christ himself for our souls. And so elders have that responsibility to look out for our souls. Elders have to have their hand on the pulse of the congregation. The elders need to know what's going on with the members of the congregation, because they're accountable and responsible for all of us. They need to know their sheep. Put it quite simply, they need to know their sheep. I was at a place many years ago where the elders of that congregation approached their relationship with the congregation in this way. Every Sunday afternoon, before the evening worship services, they would come to the building an hour beforehand. They would go down to the basement in a room down there, and they would let all the members know that that's where the elders could be found. For that 1 hour out of the entire week, if you want to talk to the elders, there they are. And that was not a good arrangement at all. Elders are shepherds. And shepherds get out in the flock. And they know what's going on with the sheep. One of the things I've commended the elders here for, will continue to do so, is that this past week they put forth an effort to meet with every household in this congregation. Now, they didn't get cooperation from every household, and that's a shameful thing. But they put forth the effort to go to and meet with every member to better know the sheep. They need to know the sheep, and they need to know when a sheep is becoming weak. And they need to know when they're starting to wander away from the fold. As we read, one of the things that elders had the responsibility to do is to admonish the members from 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12. That means to instruct, to caution, to reprove gently. There are times that you and I, we develop bad attitudes towards the church, towards our place in the church, towards the work of the church. The elders need to come to us and gently help us correct that attitude and keep us from wandering away. The work that God has given elders is not to sit behind a desk and to administrate. The work that God has given elders to do is to shepherd the flock. And there are some specific responsibilities that fall under that. Now, point number three, we go back to Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. We see that elders are to oversee the church. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. The word overseer is translated from the Greek word episkopos. It refers to a man charged with the duty of seeing that things to be done by others are done rightly. A curator, a guardian, or a superintendent. Elders are in charge of making sure the work of this congregation goes forward, that it goes forward smoothly, and that it goes forward as efficiently as it can. Elders need to make sure that the right men are chosen to lead us in our worship. The right men and women are chosen to teach the Bible classes and make sure that the truth is taught in the pulpit and in the Bible classes. The literature used by our classes and distributed by the church is scriptural. When those do walk disorderly, the elders need to apply proper discipline in those cases, oversee efforts in evangelism and benevolence. The elders need to be checking in on the sick and the shut-in. That doesn't mean that you and I don't have a responsibility to do so, but elders are specified in James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Elders have that responsibility to, again, they need to know what's going on. And those who are sick, those who are shut in, those who are struggling, they need to see what they're doing. In a sense, the elders do rule a local church. Going back to Hebrews chapter 13, And verse 17, we read, obey those who rule over you. So elders rule the local congregation. Their authority does not extend beyond the local congregation, but they have authority from the chief shepherd to exercise oversight of the local church. They are not rule makers. They don't get to throw out the New Testament and write their own rules. They're not to lord it over God's flock, but they do have the authority from Christ to make the final decisions in the local church. One of my favorite presidents, I like presidential history, one of my favorite presidents is Harry Truman. I've got him on my tie a couple of places, I'm sure, this morning. He had a little plaque on his desk in the Oval Office that said, the buck stops here. And what that means is that when he took that office, he realized and understood that he had the responsibility of the final say. He was the man who gave the order to drop the bombs in Japan to end World War II. Think of how great a responsibility that was. Yet he knew he had that responsibility. He'd take the credit, he'd take the criticism, but the buck stops here. That's the way it is with the elders in the local church. In making sure that the church functions and moves forward in its work, a lot of decisions have to be made. A lot of decisions in the realm of judgment as to what to do and when to do it and how to do it. And if we want, we can be critical of that. Of course, as we're doing that, we're disobeying Scripture because we're told to obey those who rule over you and be submissive. Understanding that the same restriction that's placed upon civic authorities would also be placed upon elders. If elders called upon us to do things that were contrary to Scripture, we must obey God and not man. But until they do so, we submit to their judgment and their authority. You remember a few years ago, we had somewhat of an exodus of members leaving this congregation, going other places. One of those individuals came to me and was very upset with the elders because what gave them the authority to buy that electronic sign out there? In their mind, that money could have been spent somewhere else, and that was sinful. And I said, what do you mean? They have all the authority that they need to spend the money that is collected as they see fit to best carry out the work of the church here. They have that authority. What really disappointed me is this was coming from an older person that was supposedly known for being a Bible student and didn't realize what it meant to be an overseer of the church. The elders have that authority. And with that authority doesn't come a lot of good blessings. With that authority comes great responsibility. But elders are to oversee the church and make sure that it goes smoothly. The buck stops with them. Then for the last point, I want us to go to another passage. That is the instructions given by Peter to elders. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, Peter writes, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers. You think Peter and Paul saw things the same? They certainly did. Shepherd, be overseers. But he says, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you. What does that mean? That means, you elders, you don't take that authority that you have and cram it down the throats of the members. That's not how you lead. Remember, you're shepherds. You're not cattle drivers getting behind us and driving us. Shepherds. You get out and you lead. You lead by example. Being examples to the flock. The Greek here refers to an example to be imitated. Elders, we're watching you. We're watching you so that we can learn how we are to live. We're watching you so we can learn what it means to be a Christian. and we can learn how to best serve the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, Hebrews 13 verse 7, it says, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you." I believe this is, here's talking about elders. "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow." Follow their example. Follow the way that they have walked. Learn from them. Elders are leaders, and they lead by setting a good example for us to follow. The qualifications of an elder should tell us that elders are going to be good examples of what it means to be a Christian, of what it means to be a good husband and to be a good father, what it means to be a teacher and thus a student of God's Word. Remember, one of the qualifications for elders is that they have to have a good report from those who are outside of the church, which means elders are going to give us an example of how to be a good neighbor, how to be a good co-worker, how to be a good student, classmate, how to be a good citizen. Elders are going to set this example for us. When I became a Christian, when I was 17 years old, I didn't know then that I was going to preach. And I had a good relationship with the preacher of that congregation. But he's not the person that I spent the most time with right from the start. Actually, as I look back, I recall many times that I went to the elders of the congregation. And I would go to their house. And I would ask for some of their time. And I would go spend some time with these men who were serving as elders. And I would ask them questions. And I would observe them and get to know them. And I learned as much from the elders as I did from the preacher when I first got started. We've got some good young men who are coming up. Teenagers. Look to the elders. Look to the elders. And you young ladies, we got some elders' wives here who are setting good examples as well. You look to them. And you go to them and learn from them how to be the best Christian that you can be. Now, that doesn't mean that elders only lead by example. I talked about false doctrines out there. That false doctrine's been out there a long time. That the extent of an elder's leadership and authority is just the example that he sets. And that's nonsense. They're overseers. But they better be living a life that gives them credibility, so that when they do speak as a shepherd, the sheep respond. They need to be setting that good example before others. We need to take a look from time to time at the subject of the eldership. Not so that the five men who serve as elders here can be reminded of what they need to do. I promise you, they already know all this. They already understand this. We need to know this. We need to understand this so that our expectations of our elders are scriptural, are what God would have us to understand elders are supposed to be doing, so we can support them in that work and we can cooperate. What we read in Hebrews 13, verse 17, "Obey those who rule over you. Be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you." One of the best ways that we can help support the elders here at Knollwood so they can do their work and we benefit most from it is by understanding what God expects them to do and to encourage them in doing that. We've got good men who are serving as elders. We are thankful for our elders. We pray for our elders. Let's continue to do so. And let's make sure that we fulfill our responsibilities as members just as we expect them to fulfill their responsibilities as elders. Paul wrote, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." be at peace among yourselves. I appreciate so much the kind attention that you've given as we've talked about the work, the responsibility, the great weight that is placed upon the men who serve as elders here at Knollwood. And let's be giving them the respect, the honor, the prayer, the encouragement that God would have us to do. If you're here and you're not yet a Christian, not yet a child of God, I realize this study isn't necessarily geared towards encouraging obedience to the gospel. I will say this, God has made a plan for your salvation, and He has put everything in place that is needed to help you and I get to heaven with Him. And that includes the role of elders in the local church. If you would become a Christian, become a child of God, you'll be placed in that church, and you'll be placed in the company of individuals, including elders, who can help you with your travel on to your heavenly home. But you need to make that decision to start. Confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God. Repent of your sins and be baptized to have those sins washed away. If you've been unfaithful as a Christian, repent and make things right. If you're overwhelmed, we'd be glad to pray with you. Whatever your spiritual need is, let it be made known by coming forward as we stand and sing this invitation song.